Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Have our Junkies Weekend Parlay coming up at 7:45. John Feinstein at 8. Bill Roth, the play-by-play voice for the Virginia Tech Hokies, he's going to join us coming up at 9:45. We're going to talk to Chris Nowinski here shortly. He's a guy who was a WWE wrestler, went on to become a neuroscientist, and has been deeply involved with concussions for years. He's the founding CEO of Concussion Legacy Foundation. He's going to join us here in a moment to talk about Tua's concussion last night, but as it ties into Sunday, because he said before the game.
Oh, yeah.
That if Tua takes the field, it's a massive step back for concussion care in the NFL. And he basically posits that Tua was concussed, which a lot of people thought on Sunday.
Sure looked like it.
Just from watching it.
It appeared that way.
So I have a lot of protocol questions for Chris. Not that he's necessarily an expert on what the NFL protocol is, but he's been involved in a lot of these investigations with former players. Remember when Andre Waters, I think he ended up having CTE, right? He killed himself and... You know, remember that guy for the Steelers that got in that accident or whatever?
Justin Strelzik?
Yeah, he was involved with that. So, you know, he's been involved in all
these. You
want
to try to prevent these things from happening post-playing career for players. You want to try to limit head trauma as much as you can.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I didn't have a chance to read this whole story, but he points in his Twitter, if you look at it, that there's this high school running back who suffered a second concussion after 2 weeks off, who had brain bleed and is in a coma. Yeah. So those are the dangers.
Well, there was one that died in Texas, too, last week.
Right.
I can't remember the kid's name, but that was a big national story.
Yeah, well, he can hip us to that because it was the first I had heard of, what is it, second impact? Is that what they call it?
Second impact syndrome,
I believe.
Yeah, maybe he can give us all that scoop.
You know, one thing that caught a lot of heat last night, too, was Mike McDaniel after the game, what he said. He kind of... I don't know that he meant to do it, but he kind of diminished it, said that Tua doesn't have anything more serious than a concussion.
Right.
And we do have Chris Nowinski on now. Hey, Chris, before we get into this, why don't you give our audience kind of your background? Because I remember you were a WWE wrestler. You were on the show Tough Enough. And then you got into this, and now you are the CEO of Concussion Legacy Foundation. Just kind of take us through how you got to where you are.
Yeah, sure. Played a little football at Harvard University, did some healthcare consulting, and decided to take a shot at, thank you, sir, pro wrestling. And had a great time on Monday Night Raw until I got kicked in the head too many times. And had to retire in 2003 with basically permanent post-concussion syndrome. And it really happened. I had two in a month that weren't treated properly because I didn't tell anyone how bad I was feeling.
Right.
I started researching and trying to get better, realized the story we were all being told 20 years ago about concussions wasn't the truth, that they're much more serious, they have long-term effects, we need to rest them. Wrote a book called Head Games Football's Concussion Crisis. And then started reaching out to families to coordinate brain donations, starting with Andre Waters in 06, started the Foundation in 07, co-founded the Brain Bank at the Boston University CT Center in 2008. Went back to school to get my PhD in behavioral neuroscience, and I've been fighting the NFL for almost 20 years now to take this stuff more seriously.
All right, so let's get in specifically to the Tua incidents. We all saw last week him stumble afterwards, and we're kind of surprised that he kept playing. Let's just assume,
not even last week because it was Sunday, so it was
right.
Just 4 or 5 days ago.
Let's assume, yeah, short week. I don't know that Chris feels this way, but let's just assume that they sort of in good faith he did pass their protocol, and I know that they have, and they're allegedly supposed to have an independent person also pass him. Do you know what that protocol consists of? Is it simply like questions and answers? Is that all it is?
No. So the protocol is meant to test multiple domains of brain function to find malfunctioning, evidence of malfunction to keep you out. So they're testing cognition, they're testing balance, they're testing eye movement, they're testing a number of different domains. A mistake that was made is very clear. When he got hit, when he hit the ground, he grabbed his head, which
right.
is a non-specific mm-hmm. sign of concussion. But then he did four other things that should have made it so he never goes back in. He stood up and he took two steps back because he was off balance. He then shook his head back and forth like he was shaking off the cobwebs, which no one ever does unless you've got a visual disturbance from a concussion.
Right.
Then he fell, and then when he got up, he couldn't stand by himself, and his teammates held him up. So that's called gross motor instability in the NFL protocol. It's one of the signs that says this is a no-go, that person never goes back in. But there's a clause in there that says if a doctor can find another reason why he fell and had motor instability, you can put him back in. And I don't know who the hell made this call, but it was a terrible and obvious mistake to, even if Tua said, my back hurt, the doctor's not supposed to believe him in this situation because Tua just had a brain injury and ain't thinking straight. And so any doctor with any experience on this doesn't take Tua's word for it, looks at what happened on video and says, there's no way you're going back in. And then even if they aren't certain it was a concussion, you just err on the side of caution with your franchise player
right.
on something so serious so early in the season.
And then what is the protocol? That all makes sense to me. Then what is the protocol, Chris, during the week? Because presumably they still keep testing him, right?
So it's basically they're monitoring his symptoms so he's not self-reporting. They have nothing to go on. They're supposed to test him again the next day through the full protocol to see if delayed onset symptoms have shown up. Presumably they did that. You can bounce back very quickly from a concussion and pass the protocol. You can pass it 5 minutes later. The
right.
point is that if you see what happened at the moment of impact, even if it's falling one time and the symptoms go away after 10 seconds, that's a concussion. Your brain needs weeks to recover, and it's like we went back 20 years in time and we haven't learned all these things.
So again, give us those four symptoms again. It was the shaking the head of the cobwebs, the falling back. What else was it?
Sorry, it was grabbing his helmet first. Then when he stood up, he took a couple bad steps. Then the shaking off the cobwebs, then falling, and then when he stood up, he couldn't stand on his own. His teammates had to grab him.
So it seems,
five signs.
So it seems to me, then, they need more, better protocols, right? Is it possible that, like, they should do brain scans? Would something show up in, like, a brain scan that quickly, like, within a day or two or something?
No, I mean, brain scans don't help. There aren't any objective tests. It's still subjective. So, I mean, honestly, I think this is human error.
Uh-huh.
And maybe lack of trading or maybe lack of punishment or something that, you're messing with somebody's life. You know, I heard you talking about second impact syndrome before you got out. I mean, you can die from this. And so if players have been put back in over and over again in the NFL, another way to look at it is if you suspect the concussion, every time you put somebody back into the same game, we already know you're going to be wrong 10 or 20% of the time because the protocol and the sideline is not perfect and there's always delayed symptoms in some cases. So every time we put somebody back in and we've pulled out, we're risking their life. The NFL and the NFL Player Association have agreed that they're willing to take that risk, but we're still supposed to follow the protocols that are given. So this is just a nightmare scenario.
Talking to Chris Nowinski, who is the founding CEO of Concussion Legacy Foundation. He's a neuroscientist, and he tweeted before the game last night that if Tua took the field, which of course he did, it would be a massive step back for concussion care in the NFL. What did you see on that play, and what did you feel when you saw Tua with the fencing response and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe the force at which his head hit the field when he was tackled. I mean, that was, you know, even if he didn't have a concussion 5 days before, that was going to be a serious impact. And to see the fencing response, and it was really like a more extraordinary fencing response than we're used to. Mm-hmm. You know, usually the hands aren't bent like that. So, I mean, that is a sign of a more serious injury, you know, than just your average run-of-the-mill concussion. That means your brain stem is involved. And that means probably a longer recovery, and that means potentially more long-term consequences. So, I was actually hosting a fundraiser in New York City when my phone started blowing up and started sending me this, and I was so angry. I was worried about myself. I just started letting the world know what I thought, because people need to be held accountable. And it's these sorts of mistakes that happen on national television in front of 20 million people that put all the kids out there playing sports at risk. You know, and the idea that the Dolphins didn't self-correct on Monday or Tuesday and raise their hand and say, "Oh, we made a mistake," and he did have a concussion. Like, I mean, there's just so many errors in a row, and the idea that nobody stepped in. The coaches must have known it was a concussion. They're not idiots. They saw what he did. The ownership must have known. So the lack of care for him as a human being, and this need to win a meaningless game this early in the season when you're already, you know, one of the best teams in the league, it's just so tragic. And it's just a reminder that you know, we got to keep our focus on the NFL to have them be a good citizen in our culture on this issue, because they're setting a bad example. I spend all my days dealing with players dying with CTE who played football, whether it's the NFL level or whether they just played in high school. On Monday, I had to go visit the widow of one of my former teammates at Harvard who studied his brain, and you'll hear about those results eventually. I mean, I am furious. And I've been doing this for 15 years now, and this should not be happening.
So, Chris, you said human error, and I just read one of your tweets. You want the coaching staff fired, the medical staff fired. So where does most of the blame, the majority of the blame, fall? Is it McDaniel, or is it team doctors? Is it trainers? Is it the independent guy who cleared him to go back in the game against Buffalo? Who carries most of the blame, in your opinion?
That's a great question. Whatever doctors cleared this, and again, I'm not exactly sure if the team physician could have made that choice on their own. I don't want to bury the independent person without evidence, but I know the team physician had to say yes. You know, I don't trust that person to watch a concussion again. I mean, the Dolphins had a quarterback they left in the game a year or two ago with the same situation. I'm trying to find the film. I have it somewhere. Like, I don't trust that doctor to treat people. I've said that Tua should, if I was Tua, knowing how obvious this was, he shouldn't be playing, I would worry about going back and playing for this team, because I don't think they don't care about his long-term health. The concussion issue is sort of, everyone has to have a role. We have a concussion education program called Team Up Against Concussion, where the whole point is to talk to teammates about being a good teammate and stepping in when you're worried someone has concussion, to speak up and get them evaluated. Everybody every coach needs to know that they can overrule the doctor. They saw something and the doctor missed it. You can hold the player out. There's no harm in that. And the ownership can do it too. So I think everybody failed. Nobody was erring on the side of caution, and it'll just be a question of who has the most responsibility. When I was furious last night, I said, fire everybody. And, you know, frankly, this is such a colossal mistake. I don't have faith in these people. Probably no one will be punished, and the only person who's going to have to deal with these long-term consequences is Tua. And that's not fair to him, because it's the team's job and the league's job to protect him when he had an obvious brain injury last week, and then rectify it during the 5 days they had during their investigation that apparently they didn't bother to finish before the next game so they can protect him. I mean, this is just so many errors, and I just worry that in 10 years, if Tua is not the same player anymore, everyone will forget about him. And then he's reaching out for help because he's got chronic symptoms, and everyone else has moved on with their life and is still making money and is happy.
Chris, can you describe your relationship with the NFL and their group of health experts? It sounds adversarial from what you said earlier in the interview, to say the least.
I mean, I don't have a direct relationship, with the NFL. Listen to my mentor, Dr. Robert Cantu, who advises them, and they take his advice. I'm now on my fourth chief medical officer for the NFL. The first three had no idea what they were doing. The current one, Alan Sills, I believe is a better doctor, and I believe he cares about this, and I'm hoping he comes down hard on this and shows me that he's the leader we need on this issue. But it's clear the NFL needs outside pressure to do the right thing, and so I'm happy to stay on the outside and push on this.
Chris, man, we really appreciate your insight, your passion. He's the founding CEO of Concussion Legacy Foundation, a neuroscientist. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Take care.
Thanks for the time.
And it seems extreme, but maybe he's right. That's like the extreme thing of like firing the head coach of the NFL team because you put a guy on the field, but maybe that is the right thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I stand on this because McDaniel's in his rookie year as a head coach. Mm-hmm. He's a young guy. Okay, so he hasn't had to make these overall decisions very long, and this happens. And I'm guessing he just relied on the doctors.
Yeah, he's kind of protected by that. That like, hey,
so I don't know how much I don't know how much I blame McDaniel as much as I do the medical staff.
I blame the medical staff over the coach,
because if McDaniel goes to the team doctor and goes, "How did he pass? How did he look?" Team doctor says, great, passed all of them. He can go. All right, got to go.
Right. But it is that culture of not taking care of the player when it seems patently obvious that the guy was concussed. Like other players who've seen it, and when he kind of goes through the four things and breaks it down.
I agree.
Like,
he fell back, lost his balance. Seems like it, but maybe they have to tighten up the protocol because it sounds like
correct. He
passed all the tests, though.
Correct.
That's what I mean.
Because players will lie.
And maybe that's
But even if he's not lying, they're doing things that he can't lie. Like they're doing balance tests that you can't fake.
You can't fake that.
And he can pass their protocol, but then you bring in that independent guy who says, look, you guys did your thing. I'm going to take him through my battery of tests. If he passes mine and passes yours,
but supposedly
he can pass the test, but what he missed was the actual visual.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you missed
that. If the doctor says, Tua, I'm going to give you seven words, bottle, computer, phone, pen, camera, blah, blah, in order, and you're supposed to recite them in the order, you can't fake that.
No, I understand that, but like you said, you can pass a test 5 minutes later. It doesn't mean you weren't concussed.
I know, but
right, the concussion symptoms were the visual. The test is useless then.
Right. They need to.
They're putting too much emphasis on the test.
The test, they didn't see the obvious visual.
So then they need to train these guys and say, you know what? The guy may pass the test, but if you visually see these things happen, it overrides the test.
Kind of concerns me for Talia at Maryland tomorrow, playing tomorrow. Not that he's got a head injury, but his emotional
state.
Being
affected by it. It's his brother. Yeah, I mean,
I think that kind of worries me about how he's going to play. Now, I hope I'm wrong. Now, the weather's going to be an impact, too, but he's got to be real concerned.
Coming up next, we have our Junkies Weekend Parlay here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.